Going Linux, episode 197, Audio Files Advanced. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom.
And I'm your chief executive minion, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you'll find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
In today's episode, Handling Audio Files, the Advanced.
So, Bill, you've had a recent project going that's been working out for you where you're taking ownership of your DRM files that are on Macintosh and what's the other one? Oh, Microsoft. And de-DRMing them so that you can own them and put them on your Linux machine. Audio files, both music and spoken word. Yeah?
Yes. I've been moving audiobooks that I have legally purchased and want to play them on my Linux box, and so I've had to use some open source software to get it done. Basically, I've been using Audacity, and I've been playing the audio file. I have to use Windows for this because it doesn't play on Linux, of course, and then I take the audio out and funnel it back into Audacity.
Yeah, you had a cable with two male ends on it, and you were going from, an iPod or something?
Yeah, an iPod. So Audacity can record it, and then I've been encoding it as an OGG or MP3, mostly just OGG because that's the native file of most of my music now. That's been a process in the making. I've kind of re-ripped a lot of music and stuff and just so I can have ownership of it over in Linux. Linux will play MP3 and everything, but.
Oh, sure.
I decided to use some, open formats, and so far it's worked out pretty well. It's just a long process because I have to actually, I have a lot of audiobooks. It would be so much easier if Audible would just put a Linux native client so I could not have to do this. But, I mean, I've spent so much money and 3 years worth of time, these books, and I'd like to listen to them again, and they don't work on my Linux smartphone. Or they don't work on my Linux computer. I still have a Windows partition because, I was using it, but I'm slowly moving completely away from Windows. I think Larry likes to call it eating my own dog food. and so, I'm trying to do everything in Linux. It's easy to give advice if you can just easily switch back into Windows. But I figured that if I'm going to use Linux, I should use it as much as possible. So that's what I'm doing.
So then, Larry, I sent Bill a Skype, and I said, here comes an idea that's probably stupid because it's too simple. Why don't you take that cable that goes from the iPod to the computer and plug it from the audio input to the audio output, and then play the book in iTunes and record it in Audacity. And it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
So this cable, this is just your regular, just the output jack, the analog output jack on your iPod, right? It's that, and then the same kind of plug plugs into your analog microphone input on your computer, right?
Right, but now we've gotten rid of the iPod.
Yeah,
right.
It's just the computer
iPod in
plugged
between,
into the
yeah.
computer itself.
It just shows that all the DRM just slows things down. It doesn't stop. I mean, because I believe they call this the analog hole.
Analog hole, yeah. And hole is just the right word for it.
It's a whole lot of trouble for something that we shouldn't have to be doing. Yeah.
I'm not advocating piracy by no means. These are
Well, this isn't piracy. You've paid to listen to these things. You just don't want to listen to them in the format that they've given them to you, and you want to listen to them on the device that you choose to use.
Yeah. So everybody understands. These were books that I have purchased, and I wanted to listen to them on Linux. There is no way for me to natively listen to them on my Linux box. Now, there is a Audible application for Android, but a lot of times I'm, working on my computer, and I just want to listen to a book, and I don't want to have to listen to it on my phone because my speakers on my computer are much better.
Sure.
So I wish they would just, come to realize that people aren't out to rip them off. We just want to be able to listen to it on our chosen platform. And it's a lot. I mean, I'll be doing this for another 4 months because I have 5 years worth of audiobooks.
Right, and you have to play them in real time. It's not like you can
play them in real time, and I'm sure there's a more efficient way. But
well, you can plug it in and start recording and walk away though.
Yeah, but the problem is you still have to watch the time, and you have to make sure that that you're back around the same time, or are you just basically recording silence, and then you have to trim and edit. I mean, it's a little bit of work. It's not just hit one button and walk away. All I'm saying is, if Steam realizes that there's a market for their games, you would think that Audible, and I think Amazon owns them now, would say, hey, there's a untapped market. Yes, we might only be 1% or 2%, but 1% or 2% is still a pretty significant amount. And this is just jumping through hoops to get something that I've legitimately paid for.
Sure.
Well, from a practical perspective, a lot of companies don't produce their products for Linux because they don't want to have to support that 1% of the, oh, wait a minute, most of these companies don't actually provide support anyway anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
So that excuse doesn't actually hold much water. Something I wanted to ask you, though, Bill, is are you sure you have purchased these books? Have you read the license agreement? Doesn't it just say that you have a license to listen to them?
Okay, on to our main subject.
Well, if you really want to split hairs, you're probably correct. Actually, I know that you're correct.
Yeah, so you've got a license to listen to them, but you still want to listen to them on the device you want to listen to them on.
Yeah, this is one of those, well, I'll call it a gray area, but if you really want to split hairs, I guess I'm breaking the license agreement.
Does the license agreement say that you must play it on a specific device?
I think it probably has a paragraph or two hidden in the fine print that says that you're not allowed to.
I don't know about that. We should check into that.
I should. But I want to, just before I move on, I just want to just make an observation. When I was preparing for this episode, I decided to encode in AUG and then encode in MP3 and just kind of see how fast each one can do on my machine. The first book was a little over 7 hours, and it took my computer about 38 minutes to encode it to MP3. Okay. And that was at 128 kilobits. To encode it in AUG at the level 5 setting, it took 16. So it's considerably faster.
Sure.
I think it sounded pretty good. I'm not sure how those two compare. Maybe Larry can kind of fill me in, but the AUG was smaller, and it encoded quicker. Not a big thing, but I'm just something I just thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the setting of 5 is on Audacity for encoding in AUG, but I do know that when I record our three versions, our three file formats, I record an MP3 at 96 kilobits. I record an MP3 at 64 kilobits, and I record a 96 kilobit AUG format, so that we have two equivalent quality formats for MP3 and AUG, and we have the 64 kilobit for people who are bandwidth limited and don't mind the sacrifice of a little bit of quality. So when you compare the two equivalent MP3 and AUG files, the AUG setting in Audacity for about 96 kilobits is setting of 2. So you were recording at 5. That was much higher quality. And so I'm not surprised that the AUG file was smaller, because when you look at our two files, now bear in mind we have ID3 tags and we have album art and other stuff taking up space. But when you add all that stuff in, and I'm using exactly the same album art on the AUG version and the MP3, the 96 kilobit MP3. So it should be apples to apples here. The file size for the MP3 is about twice as large as the equivalent quality AUG.
Yeah.
And okay. So that gives you an idea of the comparison of the two. And as we get into talking about our topic here, we'll discuss why that is. And that's because of the compression algorithm that's used in AUG versus the compression that's used in MP3.
Oh, all right. Sounds like a plan.
All right. So we're going to talk about these file formats and compression and all this good stuff in this episode. So let's get into it, shall we?
But let's start with some definitions, because they're important. The definitions will be for compression, format, codec, and wrapper.
Right. All four of those can get a little bit confusing, because sometimes the same label is applied in all four cases. So, for example, if you're talking about an AUG file, you can talk about AUG compression or AUG format or AUG codec or AUG wrapper, and technically you're incorrect, but in general conversation, people use the same label for each. So let's first talk a little bit about audio compression. So digital audio is a special kind of a data file, because it's digital, it's data. And the process of reducing the size of a data file is popularly referred to as data compression. So data compression, or bit rate reduction, involves encoding information using fewer bits than the original recording or representation of that data file. So the concept of lossy and lossless refers to compression as well. Lossy and lossless compression both reduce the bits in a file, but in different ways. Lossless compression identifies and eliminates statistical redundancy. In other words, no information is lost in lossless compression. It is removing bits, though. So when it's decompressed, the file is reproduced exactly as it was before it was compressed. On the other hand, lossy compression removes the bits and identifies what is referred to as marginally important information and just removes it. In audio, this can include inaudible sounds and other parts of the signal that almost imperceptibly reduce the quality of the sound. So all of that stuff is actually removed, and it's a trade-off between file size and audio quality, as we were just discussing a moment ago about AUG versus MP3.
Yeah, you said imperceptibly, but not to my ears, but to a lot of people, MP3 is a nightmare. Audio-wise, they listen to music and they go, oh my gosh, that's an MP3. I can't even listen to that.
Right.
So I can't hear it, but some people can.
Now, those people are, or what they call audiophiles, they actually say they can hear stuff. I guess there's an algorithm that MP3 uses to figure out what to take off. And they say that they can hear that stuff it removes.
Right.
I was looking on Wikipedia and I just happened to find, it's in the show notes, a link to the frequency of human of hearing for humans. So apparently, not everybody. I can't tell the difference between a 192 and a 320 MP3. But there's people who say they can.
Right, and this whole thing around encoding and compression and so on doesn't apply. As I mean, MP3, we're talking about an example. Audio compression is used by all of the formats that we are going to be talking about here in one form or another. It's just a matter of, is it lossless or is it lossy? And it's a matter of what is the algorithm, and each one uses a different algorithm, whether it's AUG or MP3 or something else.
Right. But when you're like ripping your music, you should always, I guess, strive for lossless, so you can you have the best quality source for lossy. Is that how it goes?
Right. So if you're recording something and you don't know what the source is, you know what format it's in, as you're just recording some audio, you want to record it as lossless as possible. Because if you record something that actually is lossy, that has some information taken out of it, and you record it in a format that takes more information out of it, another lossy format, whether you're recording MP3 to MP3 or MP3 to AUG or MP3 to something else, you're taking something that's already missing information, you're taking more information out of it, and the quality is reduced as a result of that. So that's why you want to ensure that when you do your initial recording of a file, you want to use a lossless compression format, so that when you do your final encoding into the format that you want, assuming that that's different from the lossless compression that you started with, then you're consciously starting with the best quality from whatever the source was, whether that was a really high quality or whether that was some middle of the road or even a bad quality thing, that at least you're not degrading the quality of your file or the audio even further.
Okay, that makes sense.
So now let's talk about audio formats versus codecs. Formats describe how the audio is stored, while codecs describe how the file is encrypted and encoded. Examples of audio formats include WAV, WAV, MP3, MPEG-1, MPEG-2, Layer 3, and AUG. Examples of audio compression codecs include AAC, AMR, MP3, Reel-8, WMA-8, Vorbis, Speaks, and FLAC. And everything that I just said might sound like nonsense to you, but as we go along, hopefully we'll straighten that out.
Right. And something that may not be obvious, because this is an audio-only podcast, when Tom said MP3 and followed up by MPEG-1 and MPEG-2 Layer 3, MPEG-1 and MPEG-2 Layer 3 are audio formats that are commonly referred to. There are two different audio formats that are commonly referred to as MP3. So when you refer to the MP3 format, without any further qualification, you really don't know whether you're talking about an MPEG-1 or an MPEG-2 Layer 3 audio format.
What's Reel 8? I've never heard of Reel 8.
You remember Reel Player?
Yeah. Apple.
Yeah, it's still around, apparently, and that's the compression that it uses, the codec.
Oh, and AMR, that's used in a lot of cell phones, isn't it? Okay. And I don't know what Speaks is used for, but does anybody have any clue? I've never seen that. I've seen it, but I don't know what they use it for.
Text to audio.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, moving on, we're going to define a container or wrapper. A wrapper can contain audio and video encoded in different ways. Not all wrappers can contain all kinds of codecs. Wrappers include AVI, DivX, FLV, MP4, MPEG, MP4, OGG, and then the file extensions can be .OGG, .OGA, .OGV, and .OGX. WebM, AIFF, WAVE, Matroska, and VOB.
And VOB, V-O-B, is a video format, of course. And we have links to a lot of this stuff in our show notes. If you click on the link that says Comparison of Container Formats, that will actually give you a nice little table of what Bill was just talking about. And it shows for container formats which kind of files that are supported by each of those formats. So if you scroll down to the second table and you look at the audio formats supported, you can see that an AVI file, which is a video container format that is common for videos on the internet, it will handle audio in MP3, WMA, AAC, AC3, DTS, and PCM. Those are the lossy formats that it supports. And it does not support any lossless compression formats. And it doesn't even officially support Vorbis, the OGG compression format. And if you look at MP4, another common format for video, it doesn't officially support Vorbis either, and it supports basically the same sorts of things that AVI does, whereas an OGG wrapper will actually support Vorbis, but it doesn't support WMA, and it doesn't support AAC, and so you can see that this is one big mess as far as wrappers are concerned.
There you go. That's right.
I think they should have an audio codec named Larry, a video named Tom, and a container named Bill, and be done with it.
Yeah.
Sure.
And by the way, for anyone listening in their cars, when we say the word wrapper, there's a W at the beginning of it, like what you get your taco in. Not R-A-P-P. We're not talking about hip-hop here.
Yes, yes.
After saying all those small acronyms, I want to go what that Mickey Mouse song, M-O-U-S-E. That's the only thing we missed.
Yeah.
Good gracious, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there is no Mickey
vegetable
format.
Vegetable soup.
Yeah, it is. It's a big mess. So let's dig into...
I want to say that again. I screwed it up. Alphabet soup. I said vegetable soup, which doesn't make any sense at all.
Well,
made sense to me. You got different vegetables in the soup, so hey, okay.
Yeah. It's one big mess. So let's dig into four of the common formats our listeners might hear about or use on a regular basis. And we're going to read from Wikipedia pages here and discuss what they have to say about each of four of the common audio formats that we may be talking about.
Right. And as we all know, everything on Wikipedia is true.
Yes.
So first we'll talk about OGG Vorbis, and that will be a file name followed by .OGG.
Yeah, I was just going to interject here, Tom, that OGG Vorbis is the compression. OGG is the wrapper or file format. And to be absolutely clear, when you record an OGG file and you want to indicate that it is an audio file only, if you make the file extension OGA for OGG audio, you are absolutely indicating that this is an audio only OGG file. And if you make it OGV, you're indicating it's OGG video. And if you make it OGX, you're indicating that it includes both OGG audio and OGG video. If you just label it OGG, until you play it, you don't know what it is.
And all of those caveats aside, OGG Vorbis, file name followed by typically .ogg, is another compressed source code similar to MP3, but like WMA, more compressed. OGG Vorbis is also open source, that is, free to all, unlicensed, no strings attached. While MP3 compresses data at a constant rate, OGG uses a variable bit rate.
In this case, this may be a situation where Wikipedia has it not quite right, because you can choose between variable bit rate and fixed bit rate with an OGG compression format.
Right. Right. And you can do the same thing with
MP3 and most everything else, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So take note, Wikipedia, you goofed.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Another format that we'll be talking about is MPEG-1. Audio Layer 3, or MP3. MP3 is a common compressed WAV file. MPEG-1 files are about 1/12 the size of WAV files. This is why MP3 players can accommodate hundreds of songs on a tiny chunk of storage space.
Right. And now my favorite audio format, Windows Media Audio. Can you hear the sarcasm in my voice? So,
dripping.
Yes.
Dripping.
WMA was developed to compete with MP3 format for Windows Media Player. Microsoft claims that the WMA formats are compressed 3 times more than MP3s, yet retain their original sound quality. Emphasis is all mine, not necessarily attributable to Wikipedia.
And also, WMA enables Microsoft to put in DRM, Digital Rights Management, which means that if you buy something, you don't actually own it.
Actually, the DRM on Windows Media Audio is pretty extensive. At one time, I owned that player that won't be called Zune anymore. You could rent music with like a station pass. Well, apparently they were all in Windows Media Audio, and it would, if your pass expired, it wouldn't let you play the music anymore at all.
No, that's convenient. Yeah.
It also wouldn't let you copy it to a unauthorized player. So say I had some WMA files that I wanted to play on Linux that I purchased, you know, like MP3 or OGG or FLAC or whatever, it will not play unless I transcode them. And sometimes it won't even do that. I mean, there's not really tools to do that. So yeah, I don't particularly like WMAs very much, but they sound okay. I can't really tell the difference between that and MP3. I guess my hearing's not as great as some audiophiles, but it just seems like it's another layer of keeping Bill from being able to do what he wants with this music.
Sure. And I don't want to give Microsoft any ideas, but I predict that sometime in the near future, Windows computers are going to have coin slots on them. So you sit down at your computer with a pocket full of quarters.
No, it needs to be digital, so it's your debit card.
No, once a month, the Microsoft guy will come around and empty out the coin bin.
Oh, okay.
Just like the old pay phones.
Yeah.
Are they still around?
Okay, well, that out of the way, next up we've got FLAC. FLAC stands for Free Lossless Audio Codec, an audio format similar to MP3 but lossless, meaning that the audio is compressed in FLAC without any loss in quality. This is similar to how ZIP works, except with FLAC you get much better compression because it's designed specifically for audio.
Okay, so those are the compression formats and codecs that would be most common for most people, I think. So pick the one that fits you and your particular situation best. So if you like to be locked into something with DRM, you could choose WMA. Or if you want to actually be able to use your stuff cross-platform, you might want to use AUG or FLAC. And if you actually want to be able to play it on any audio player, for now, sadly, MP3 is probably the most cross-platform friendly.
Just a note on FLAC. I made a mistake. Yes, I know it's
really
unheard of. Yeah, really. FLAC actually does have some compression.
Well, it says it's lossless.
Yeah.
But it is compressed.
It is compressed. It does have some compression. Now, you're not going to get the same type of compression that you would with an AUG or an MP3, but it does have some compression. And apparently, since it's designed just for audio, it's lossless, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Pretty good. So what, by way of general discussion here, what bit rates should we be using for listening to audiobooks? What's the best format and bit rate? And what are the trade-offs? Bill, you've been doing some conversions here. What's your recommendation?
I've been using 128-bit MP3s for just regular audiobooks. Mm-hmm. You could probably go to, depending on how big your spaces. I mean, you can code them all the way up to 320.
Makes big files, though.
Yeah, makes big files. I would say, I don't know. I would say 128 is just kind of the perfect little choice for the matter. When I'm using AUG, it's easier. It's just I use the level 5, and it seems to be just fine. I really just kind of choose 128 for MP3s, and I can't really tell a difference. I know Tom listens to a lot of audiobooks. What do you think, Tom?
I just listen to the book in any format it comes in.
Oh, okay. So you really don't have a preference?
I don't care. No, even if it's... I've listened to some stuff that's really, really low quality, but after a few minutes you get used to it because it's just spoken word.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why... For this podcast, 64 kilobit is just fine. I mean, we could probably reduce it even further and you'd still find the voice intelligible. And
sure,
you know, since there's no music or anything that you actually want to hear the intonation of things in, that, you know, it's a lower quality or lower bit rate for spoken word, not as much of a problem.
I'm a big fan of old-time radio, so I listen to a lot of old-time radio online. And a lot of that stuff was poor quality in the first place because it was on a magnetic tape for years and years before anybody digitized it. And I can still hear it. I can still figure out what people are saying. And after a couple of minutes, you get used to it.
Right. And it's got that nice crackly sound that you get with old time.
Yeah, even
radio.
If there's clicks and pops and buzzes and who cares.
Yeah, tells you you're listening to. Yeah. Yeah, you can tell you're listening to old time radio. That's
right.
There you go. So, Bill, you've written in the show notes here that Google Play supports FLAC. Is that true?
Apparently it is. You know, you can upload your music library to Google to the Google Eye, and it will compare the music and let you stream it. Apparently, that's how they're getting around the license, because they make sure that you actually own a copy of it, and or license a copy of it, however you want to say it. And apparently, if you have FLAC, it recognizes the FLAC and can see what music it is and says, oh, okay, yeah, they have it, and continues on.
Hmm.
Yeah, so.
Hmm. So FLAC is a free audio codec. How would they know that you've actually paid for it?
Well, it's probably, I don't know if they're actually looking to see if you've paid for it or that you actually have a file.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how the Goog does all that, the magic they do. I know they got databases upon databases of stuff, so apparently they can say, oh, okay, yeah, that song's in FLAC, but we know what the song is, and so he apparently has it, so okay, that's good. Keeps on going.
All right. I'm not so sure they can tell all that, but the good news is they support FLAC, so that's good.
Yeah, the good news is they support FLAC, so if I'm wrong, just tell me I'm wrong.
Our listeners will.
Yeah, they...
Oh, by the way, listeners, yes, we know that technically you can put iTunes on a Linux machine if you want to jump through all the hoops, but it doesn't work very well, and we don't want to.
Right. I don't want to.
Uh-huh. No.
Tom, do you use any audio tools for Linux that you find helpful besides, you know... What do you use?
I use Audacity, of course, which is what I'm recording this on. I use eSpeak, which is a tool that takes text and turns it into audio, a WAV file. And I use that for if there's lots and lots and lots of text that I want to know, but I don't have time to sit at the computer and listen to it, I can turn it into a WAV file, move it over to my MP3 player, and listen to it no matter what I'm doing.
Does that work?
Oh, it's beautiful.
I had to try that. Larry, what audio tools do you use?
Audacity. And, you know, I'm kind of in Tom's camp when it comes to listening. Whatever format it comes in is how I'll listen to it. And right. I don't subscribe to anything that won't play on my Android phone. So I don't have any problem with having to transcode things, because if it's not in a listenable format, then I feel I don't have to listen to it. So I don't. And as far as this podcast is concerned, of course, we use Audacity and we encode it in MP3 and AUG formats. So most of my listening is done using VLC or whatever audio player will play what I need to play on my Android phone or my Android tablet, and that's it.
Okay, you guys don't use half the stuff I do.
Well, in the rare instance that I need to transcode something, I use FFmpeg.
Okay.
That does a great job.
Well, I use AUG Convert, which is very handy. I use GPodder for it's works well. And I use Audacity. There's just three. And I'll turn the listeners on to a fun program. It's called Mix. I found it in the Ubuntu store. It'll be in your repositories. It is kind of a like a DJ program that you can queue up one song and you can play another, and you when you play in that one, you can do cross effects. It's cool. You should if you're just bored and want to see some really cool audio tools, look at Mix, and it's MIXX.
Okay.
Okay, and speaking of Android phones, as I was doing a few moments ago, a lot of people are using their smartphones as music players, as I do, and they have a limited amount of storage space unless you add in a micro SD card or something like that, in which case you're almost unlimited. So finding the best format is oftentimes helpful. And as I said, for storing music on or even podcasts on the phone, I found that with very few exceptions, the Android players that are available on the Google Play Store actually will play just about anything.
Okay. So pick your format, smallest file size if you need to, and go nuts.
Yep, exactly.
And those of us that are using a Windows phone or an iPhone, the two primary formats that you can use on those is MP3 and AAC. So you're a little bit more limited, but you've pretty much got the full spectrum of, I mean, everybody pretty much sells their music in MP3 now.
Will a Windows phone play an AAC file?
Yes, it will.
It will. Okay. Mm-hmm. And and a WAV file, of course, you could, or a WMA file would play on the Windows, but not on the iPhone?
Well, yeah, WAV will play on that, but I was talking about the two primary formats that they're going to see. I mean, okay. You're not going to see very much music just in straight WAV.
Okay.
But I haven't been able to find a program that will play OGG on the iPhone. So, I mean, if there's one out there, I haven't found it yet. But I'm sure if there's one, our listeners will let us know.
Is there a VLC download available on the iTunes store for the iPod?
There's VLC. They call it VLC Remote. I don't know if that's the same thing or not. I really haven't downloaded it and tried it, but I don't see anything. It just says a VLC player.
Yeah, that may be a player for to connect up to a VLC server where it's streaming audio. But if it's truly a player, then it should be able to play OGG.
Yeah, I also found a FLAC player for iPhone. So.
Okay. So you have to do some hunting to make the iDevices work. As always.
Yeah,
pretty much. Always, yeah.
And if we got anything wrong about the Windows phone, I'm sure one of our 7 listeners using a Windows phone will tell us.
Yes. So, in summary then, we've talked about various codecs and formats, and we've differentiated them from compression algorithms and audio data compression, and from containers and wrappers with a W. So, we've given a bit of a background on here. We've got lots of links in the show notes if you want to dig in even further and learn a little bit more about this stuff. And it doesn't all point to Wikipedia, but most of it does. just based on our experience as well in using this stuff, I think we've covered an awful lot of stuff here. There's more that we could have gone into had our depth of knowledge been even deeper, but it's not, so we can't go much deeper than we've already gone.
But our listeners no doubt can. So
exactly. So send us some emails. Feedback, yes.
And let us know where we got things wrong.
No, you don't have to do that. Just tell us the depth of your knowledge. If you know more, send us that. We know we got stuff wrong. You don't have to tell us.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. This is a big ocean of knowledge, but it's only about a half inch deep.
So. Yeah. Speaking of feedback, our next episode will be a listener feedback episode, so get that feedback in so that we can play it on our show.
Until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations.
And remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover on the show, use the forums to leave your topic suggestion in the thread labeled Topic Suggestions at forum.goinglinux.com.
If you want to support our efforts, click on the Donate button while you're there.
And you can also send us an audio comment by email. We'll play it on the show. Our email address is goinglinux@gmail.com, and our voicemail is +1-904-468-7889.
Follow our show updates on Twitter, tweet us at Going Linux, or join our Google Plus community. Look for Going Linux Podcast.
You can download the episodes from our website, or you can play them right from the show notes page. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
73.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.